Good morning. If you'd like, you can open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll get there in a moment. If you're taking notes, like I generally do, I like to have a title and a text. I usually go with the first scripture that's given. This morning, my text is Behold His Glory. And I've chosen for the text, the title is Behold His Glory, and the text is Psalm 103, verse 14. And we'll get there in a little bit. This morning, I'm going to tell us a story. And then I'm going to spend the remainder of the time just talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And my sincere hope and prayer is that as I do this, we will see Jesus Christ in His glory as God, Jesus Christ in His glory as the man accepted of God, and Jesus Christ in His glory as our Savior. Now, I imagine all of us at some point have heard and watched, possibly endured, a Hallmark movie. And this story of mine has all the makings of a Hallmark movie. In fact, it is a story that is so fantastic that it's quite unbelievable. There was once a girl born into an extremely wealthy family. Her family loved her and they cared for her greatly. She was not a spoiled little rich girl. She was raised properly. Her family did all that they could good toward her. They provided for her and they taught her well. But this girl was a rebel. Everything that she did, everything presented to her, she rebelled against. Her parents, her friends, everything that was presented, she rebelled against it all. Eventually, this girl forsook everyone and everything she knew, and she ran away from home. She raced as far as she possibly could away from her loving family. Her grieving family sought after her. They went after her. They tried to help her. Just come home. We'll get you help. We'll provide for you. Just come home. But with every attempt, everyone that loved her made, it pushed her further and further away. She just continued in her state of rebellion. One by one, each friend and each family member just finally gave up. And they came to the realization that she was as dead to them. They couldn't help her. They couldn't return her. In fact, they no longer even recognized her for the girl that they knew. At each one, as they visit her for the last time, trying to help her, trying to get her to return, they found her in the company of undesirable people. She was around people that were so unlike them, they couldn't even recognize them as people. She participated in base, unspeakable activities that her family and her friends could not abide. And she was in such a state of addiction that they lost all hope for her ever returning. And they all gave up and said, "We've lost her. She's gone from us forever." Near to the stricken family, there lived another family that was even more wealthy than they were, exceedingly wealthy. And in this house was a young man who had set his heart upon this rebellious girl. Long time ago. When he saw what had happened and he heard of the family's unsuccessful attempts to bring the girl home, he took action. He laid aside his fine clothes and his luxurious comforts, and he left his family behind. He left all that he knew as well. He went to where she was, and he took up his abode in those same undesirable conditions. Now, he never participated in the base activities. He never found himself in addiction, but he stayed there where she was. And over time, he helped her to overcome her addictions, and he nursed her back to health. He stayed with her, and he loved her. And after much tribulation and many heartaches, he was able to nurse her back to her health, and he returned her to his home with him, and they were married. His family, having known all along of his love for her, welcomed him back joyfully, and with him her, and they accepted her because of him. Her family, oh, how they rejoiced. Their girl, who they had counted for dead, had been returned to them. And above that, she had married in to a family with more honor and a greater name than even they had. For the rest of her life, whenever anyone asked her to tell them her story, all she would say was, "I was a rebel. I rebelled against everyone. I was so messed up. I was so low. I was so horrible. But he loved me. He stayed with me. He healed me. Isn't he altogether lovely?" That's a Hallmark story if I've ever heard one. But this story has its foundation on actual events. It's a factual occurrence. It is the story of every sinner that has ever been saved by grace. It's my story. And I have one goal this morning, and that's to tell of the glory of the Lord of glory, who loved me and gave himself to save me according to the good pleasure of his will. Not for anything he saw in me, but because it pleased him to do so. We're here in Isaiah 40. Verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh, may God allow us this morning to behold our God. The following verses tell us something of the glory of our God. Behold our strong, mighty, victorious God. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Behold his glory as our Creator. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters of in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Skip down to verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. He holds the isles. The nations are nothing. The dust on the scale. Behold the glory of his sovereignty, wisdom, and knowledge. Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge? And showed to him the way of understanding? Behold his infinite, incomparable majesty. Verse 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Skip to verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The idea I really wanted to convey when I started looking at this message, how great God is. How's it possible to do it? Who can tell it? To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Consider the grasshopper for a moment. As we are so much greater than the grasshopper, God is so much more high than we are. But let's say we give that grasshopper a voice, give it some reasoning. We go by as children and we see this grasshopper in the grass, right? And we capture it. We grab it. And we walk across the yard with it. And we release it. Giving that grasshopper a voice. What's it going to tell other grasshoppers? There I was, eating lunch. Nothing going on. When suddenly, I couldn't move anymore. I was surrounded. I was stayed. I was ripped away from lunch. It disappeared. And I was carried many grasshopper miles away. And suddenly I was thrown into the air and I had to fly. And when I landed, there was food again, but it wasn't the food that I was eating before. I never saw that food again. I don't know what happened to me. There is nothing in the grasshopper's experience. There is nothing that with the science that tells us of the grasshopper's eyes, it couldn't fathom what the creature was that grabbed him and carried him away. There was nothing in his experience that he could describe the greatness of the person that had done this. Behold our God. Verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who is this mighty God? Can we know him, or are we to remain ignorant as that grasshopper? Turn with me to John chapter 18. John 18. We read in Exodus 3:14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Who spoke to Moses? John 18, verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. God who spoke to Moses is the very God that spoke to the band that came to take him in the garden. Jesus Christ is God. The same I am that spoke to Moses is the I am that caused this band of soldiers to fall to the ground. Consider the glory of the Lord our God and the I am that Christ revealed himself to be. Just the I ams in John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am from above. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Behold your God, Jesus Christ. He is glorious in creation, sovereignty, wisdom, life, truth, sustaining grace, light, and the resurrection. He is glorious. He is the Almighty God. Now, our text, Psalm 103. This is the verse that first caught my attention and why I consider it the text for this message. Psalm 103. Verse 14. For he, the Lord our God, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord our God knoweth. One of the definitions, when you look that up in the concordance, is to know by experience. God knoweth our frame. He knows our frame because he created us from the dust of the earth. He knows us in creation. But he knoweth our frame by experience. At the dedication of the temple, Solomon said, "Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold the heaven, and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded?" Solomon considered the greatness of God. And then he looked at this temple, this wonderful temple that he had built. And he said, "It's too small. It's too small for God." Isaiah recorded, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son." God, which cannot be contained in heaven, and the heaven of heavens became what we call today an embryo in the womb of a virgin. And he stayed there for 9 months, growing and developing into the body prepared for him. God, who created and sustains all things, was born a baby entirely reliant on another to meet his needs. Luke 2:52 records, "And Jesus, who is God, increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." It's almost unimaginable, but the Lord Jesus Christ was taught how to walk. His parents taught him to stay out of the fire, to not touch something that was hot. He had brothers and sisters. All of us parents have, at one time or another, fussed at or corrected one of our children for something that they didn't actually do. We saw them, we assumed they did something wrong. Our Lord had to endure that for us. His parents, as fallible creatures, I'm almost certain, would have associated him with something one of the others did, and he would have been punished along with them. We would never accuse our Lord of misbehaving, knowing what we know now. But we weren't the parents. I've often thought of Mary having the Lord as the firstborn, this perfect child who never cried unless there was reason for it. Never threw a temper tantrum. Never sinned. Then she has the second child. What a difference that child's actions would have been to her first child. When our Lord was 12 years old, they attended a feast in Jerusalem. At the end of the feast, the family went back home. Joseph and Mary assumed Christ was in the caravan going back home, their son Jesus. They were a day's journey out when they realized he's not with us. And they had to turn around, go back a day's journey. They spent 3 days looking for him. On the third day, they found him in the temple. He was going about his father's work. He was doing good. He was doing right. But his parents were scared to death. They had lost their son. We don't know. It's not recorded. Everything that happened to our Lord is not recorded. The books of the world couldn't contain it, if it was. My father would have been ready to kill me after he was relieved at finding me, right? Did they have the same reaction? In their flesh, most likely. In every stage of growing up, our Lord endured the trials and tribulations that we endure. We like to think to ourselves, no one has ever had it as bad as I have. We're only kidding ourselves. The eternal, holy, glorious God came in the likeness of sinful man, and he dwelt among us. Listen to some of what he recorded concerning himself. I am weary with my groaning. I am poured out like water. I am poor and needy. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. I am a worm and no man. The Lord our God knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. In joy, in sorrow, in rest, in turmoil, in birth, in life, in death, he knows by experience our frame. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man accepted of God. Finally, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All the scriptures declare the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I've chosen 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. We often read this verse, and we'll read it in this fashion. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We not separate, but we show the character of the triune God in our salvation when we read it like this. For this morning, I want to read it this way. For he, God, who is Jesus Christ, hath made him, Jesus Christ, who is God, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, who are nothing but sin, might be made the righteousness of God in him, God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, declares of himself, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. When he saw his bride dead in trespasses and sin, he did that which only he could do. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came to where we are in our sin and in our rebellion, and he dwelt with us. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He accomplished that which we could not, and he fulfilled the law. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He is the just God, and sin must be punished, even the death of the cross. He gave himself to save sinners, to save this wretch. He gave himself. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As I said, this is a story most unbelievable until it's revealed to you. The holy God, who alone has all wealth, all power, all might, left all that he had and came and dwelt as dust. He took our sin, he suffered, he died, and he rose again. And soon, he will bring home his bride, robed in his righteousness, holy and without blame, and present his bride faultless before the Father. And there will be the marriage feast of the Lamb. If God is pleased to open the eyes of a sinner to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see Christ Jesus glorified as the Almighty God. We'll see Christ Jesus glorified as the man accepted of God. And we will see Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinful men. Behold your God. Behold the man. Behold the Lamb. When we see him, when the Lord's pleased to open a sinner's eyes and we see him, we will declare of him, he is altogether lovely. And our joy from the day we see something of his glory, starting then and throughout all eternity, will be to declare, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. To him be all the glory. All right.